Hello and welcome everyone back to the Hold for Hold Pro Wrestling Podcast. Yes, this is not a mistake. I am back here post-WrestleMania. I thought this would be a great way to come back to the channel, to the podcast. And I really wanted to start off the show by getting a little personal here. I look back at when I started this channel, this show, and realize I never explained who I am and why I'm here, I guess. You know, the typical way for a pro wrestler to, you know, make their big statement. I never did that. And I kind of regretted that. And I want you guys to really get to know me as we continue on, because I'm back, you guys. I was going through master school and I just finished that in December. And following that, I got a new job pretty much a week after and wasn't able to record anything for a little while. At least my heart wasn't into it. You know, I couldn't put forward content that I didn't think was good enough for you guys. And with the time that I have now, I want to make everything count. And that's why we are back today, because I think I found the way to make things work. So we're going to have a little bit of an announcement, kind of a scheduling. Rescheduling of everything. The podcast will be here. We're going to be a weekly show. We're going to talk about all the major storylines and matches from the week. This will include WWE, New Japan, AEW. I know Stardom is having a big rise right now, and I really want to get into it. And we're going to cover any big news stories as well. I don't think there's going to be any more Cody Rhodes news, thankfully. At least not in the way that we've been having, but you know, we're still gonna have some fun here on this. But it's gonna be a once a week podcast, and I know what you guys are thinking: what about the YouTube channel? I hope someone was thinking that. Well, the YouTube channel will still be around. I plan on dropping a new episode weekly starting next week, but they will be smaller, more like 10 to 20 minute videos, and we're gonna go over some series that I wanted to kickstart a while back for the podcast, but never really had the time to do it. And I think that having in smaller bite-size forums is going to be better anyway. If you follow us on the Instagram, well, I say us, me, on the Instagram at Hold for Hold, you would know about the starter packs that I make, my version of like a wrestling playlist to really get someone into a new subject, whether that be a wrestler or a promotion or a wrestling style. And I've been making those on the Instagram, but I wanted to make videos about those, really talking about everything that I chose and why I chose those things. And so that's one of the series that I'm going to be bringing to you guys on the YouTube. So you'll still get to see this ugly mug at least once a week. And we can also do some deep dives into like fan submitted comments or just anything really. I do have a couple ideas in mind for the first few episodes, but you know, feel free to leave a comment and just, you know, let me know what you guys want to see. I would love to bring you guys, you know, your favorite things. But I guess that really wraps up like the personal aspect of this, in at least in the announcements. I never really talk about myself on here, mostly because it's kind of tough to, but I guess that's something I should work on. And so, yeah, I'm a lifelong pro wrestling fan. I've been a fan since I was a child, and it's been instilled in me. I mean, my favorite shows were always Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. Back then, it was Friday nights, and it is now. But it was y'all remember that weird period when it wasn't on Friday nights? That was a little weird. But yeah, I'm a Ruthless Aggression era like child, and all throughout my teens and or my preteens. And yeah, I always had friends who watched in the cities I lived in, and so I always watched with them. I did take a hiatus from wrestling because I was moving a lot as a kid, especially around like 10 to 15. So I took a bit of a hiatus because I moved to a town that no one really liked wrestling. And honestly, you were looked at as kind of weird for liking wrestling. I know, a strange concept to get your mind around, but yeah, people didn't like wrestling there. And so I didn't have anyone to talk to about it, so I kind of just fell off. And I didn't keep up with it that well, but eventually I did find my way back to pro wrestling I was just on a YouTube, you know, rabbit hole, and I stumbled across creators like What Culture and Wrestling Regret, and then eventually Going in Raw. And these are all hold like a special place for me because they were my reintroduction to wrestling. And it was kind of rough at first to come back because I didn't know a lot of people that were there. Like when I left, CM Punk had just debuted for the ECW brand, and I was young, so I didn't really know what Ring of Honor was. And so I had to come back, and CM Punk had dropped a pipe bomb, and Daniel Bryan was going to retire. I'd never even seen a Daniel Bryan match ever. So it was huge. It was a real shock to come back and see the landscape for what it was. But I was excited to learn about everyone that I like had missed and watch matches. I watched so many matches my first year coming back. Just went through the archives of the WWE Network. Remember that? The WWE Network? Oh, how we took that for granted. But yeah, so I really want to make this channel and this podcast. I wanted to make Hold for Hold something that's accessible for people to, you know, engage in their fandom, but also maybe rediscover or discover a fandom. And pro wrestling can provide a great community. It can foster a great community of people. I know there's a lot of toxicity with the wrestling community, but honestly, that's the same in all of nerddom. And I think that pro wrestling is very special because a lot of us have been, you know, fans our entire lives. And to have someone really bond with you over pro wrestling is something special. And yeah, I hope to bring that to people. And that's one of the reasons I really started those starter packs was just in case anyone had, you know, never seen Brock Lesnar and they want to get into him or understand why he's, you know, so prominent at the upper card. And I put together that starter pack on Instagram, and I believe it's still on TikTok, and we'll be talking about it on the YouTube. But yeah, like I want to be able to give people an entryway into pro wrestling. And with this podcast, it's not necessarily just an entryway. This will be a great way for you to keep up with pro wrestling without having to watch, you know, 10 hours plus of wrestling. And then plus, 3 hours of my shows that I was running when I started this podcast. So I think simplifying it, just making it one podcast a week, giving you guys like the big to-dos about wrestling. So if you want to tune into Monday Night Raw or Wednesday Night Dynamite, you kind of know what to expect and you can be excited for the things that are going on because that's what we're here for. We're here to be excited about wrestling. And speaking of which, I think we're done with the announcements, you know, and with the personal stories. You know, if you want to know anything else about me, feel free to DM me, whatever. I'm sure I'll talk about myself more. But let's talk about the big weekend we just had. It was WrestleMania weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends of the entire year. Because you always know you're going to get some great wrestling and some great sports entertainment. And WrestleMania weekend delivered this year. I really believe this is one of my favorite WrestleManias ever. And I know I'm a little biased because I was at night one of WrestleMania, not to flex, but it was a lot of fun. And it was truly a special feeling, WrestleMania, because we had so many big moments this year. This was truly a WrestleMania moment type of year. And I guess we can discuss a lot of it right now, and I have a little bit of notes about things. I wasn't that much of a nerd. I didn't take notes while I was at the show. This felt like the start of a new era for WWE especially, and also for Ring of Honor, which I was at Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor as well. That was a lot of fun. I got to take a friend, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. But we'll talk about that show after WrestleMania. Getting back to WWE, I felt like a new era had really started. We have a couple of huge title changes. We had one great debut. I was trying to think if we had any other. We had a great debut. And we might have gotten, I kind of hope so, Stone Cold's final match. Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestled an 11-minute match at WrestleMania. And it was so much fun. It was just like a perfect amalgamation of, I think, every wrestling fan's, you know, era. I think it really came together really well. But yeah, let's dive right in. We're going to start off with night one. Bianca Belair obtained the Raw Women's Champion, putting her back on top. I had been wanting this moment since she lost that title at SummerSlam, and I kind of always knew that this was going to happen, but you never know with WWE. And I'm really glad to see the right person came out of that match. She was so over. The entire crowd was on their feet for her. I mean, and the match was phenomenal. I mean, that first kick out of the rock bottom, or the manhandle slam, as she calls it, was fantastically done, because you do believe for a second, they're not going to do this again, are they? And then the finish, her getting out of the manhandle slam by like flipping off the second rope and then transitioning that right into a KOD, that was smoothly done. It was a great match, a great moment for Bianca. I just wish this was the main event of night one. I think it would have been a better story that way, you know, as both of these women are the only two women. Well, not the only two, but they are one of two women to a main event WrestleMania, and for them to do it again would have been fantastic. And as much as I loved the Stone Cold Steve Austin match, I still would have gave it to these women, because they really worked out there. But, you know, and I think the landscape for that title is going to be very interesting going forward. I don't know how much Becky's going to be involved with that, as well as we have some people that we haven't seen in a long time, like Alexa Bliss and Asuka and Bayley, and those are all great opponents. And even people we see on a regular basis, like Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, those are really fun opponents for Bianca, and it can give her a lengthy and meaningful title reign, and that's what I'm hoping for. Following that, let's talk about possibly the biggest news story of the year, for sure, as well as the night. Cody Rhodes made his WWE re-debut, the American Nightmare in all of his glory, adrenaline in his soul, coming out to the ring. This was a moment. Everyone knew it was going to be Cody Rhodes, right? I mean, there was no doubt in pretty much anyone's mind. They couldn't have done anyone else. The crowd would not have liked that. But the match was really well done. You know, Cody stealing Seth's WrestleMania moment. And I think that's going to be the story going forward. It's probably going to lead to a rematch between these two, which I'm happy to see, because they can both wrestle. As much as I love the callbacks to Dusty Rhodes and everything, like, this was a really fun. This was the match of WrestleMania, in my opinion. It's the match to watch front to back and just really enjoy pro wrestling. He had some interviews that came out along with this. I'm not going to really touch on any of the speculation before his debut, because it was kind of murky, the whole situation between him and AEW. But now he's talked about it a little bit more. Essentially, he got a humongous contract with WWE. I think he's getting a bus, and he's kind of made an allusion, or he alluded to him never having to be Stardust again, which is fantastic for him. And that the main reason he wanted to come in is to become the WWE champion, the championship that his dad never held, which is, you know, I don't know how much of a worked story that is. I hope it's genuine, and I think that's a great cause. And that when he wanted to come into the WWE, he wanted to be himself still. And Vince apparently said, well, it ain't broke. Which I love that response to. And he did come out as the American Nightmare. He had the full packaging. His neck tattoo was somehow bigger, and it was all over the screens, scaring me. But yeah, it was great to see him back. And it seems like he's happy to be back, which is the most important thing, you know, let people be happy where they are. And as much as I was kind of souring on Cody Rhodes in AEW, it wasn't necessarily because of anything in that ring, you know. It was kind of the stories that were being told with him just were getting repetitive and non-consequential. And, you know, I think they kind of booked themselves into a hole with him. And now that he's out of that hole, I think we can see some fun things in WWE, especially with people like Seth Rollins right there, you know. Following that, we're going to discuss Stone Cold Steve Austin's possibly final match. He came out for a KO show segment and ended up fighting in a no holds barred contest that was so much fun, you guys. He brought back everything, the quad, the not Pat's Blue Ribbons, what are they called, the Broken Skull Brewery, the beer, let's just call it what it is, the beer. He drank like 9 beers during the match. What? And it was so fun. He went to the crowd. He took a suplex on the concrete. I couldn't believe that. And, you know, he didn't look, I know everyone's like, you still got it. He doesn't still have it, but he still has that stone cold charisma that just makes anything he does magical almost. It was a great match to have too with Kevin Owens, someone who admires him so much, and they have so much history. Kevin Owens even crediting Stone Cold for basically his entire career. And it was really fun to see. Those guys were having fun out there, and you could tell. And that always is, you know, like a great part of pro wrestling is when you can see two people having fun in front of your eyes, you know? And it finished off the night perfectly. I'm not going to lie. The crowd went home so happy after seeing Byron Saxton take a stunner. It was a great night. And that was night one. That's kind of like my overall review. And that's kind of what you could expect from me going forward with my show reviews. But we're not done, though. We got night two, guys. And WrestleMania is two nights. Isn't that weird? Kind of works out, though. I like it. They opened the night up with Triple H, you know, putting his boots down. He's retiring from in-ring competition because of these recent health events, which I'm so glad to hear that he's okay. And like, you know, he was, as he explained it, he was very close to not making it out of that. And that's just so terrifying to hear. Him and William Regal have recently had some kind of really compelling interviews about their health that I really would recommend. William Regal's was with the Chris Jericho podcast, which I don't like plugging that much, but this one is a must listen because he goes into a lot of serious stuff and it's really interesting, man. But anyways, Triple H retiring, health issues. I just, you know, I love Triple H. I've always loved Triple H, even in his reign of terror, which I was a kid. So, you know, admittedly, I didn't understand how long that was, but I've always loved Triple H. He's one of my favorite people from his matches with Shawn Michaels in that bloody feud they had when Shawn Michaels came back. I thought that was such a perfect feud. And then the End of an Era match, which was just iconic. If you haven't watched the End of an Era match, that's such a genuinely great pro wrestling match and one of the best in WrestleMania history. And yeah, Triple H, he makes every moment feel huge. And he's made stars, man, from NXT to guys like Batista and Orton. Like, he has made stars. And yeah, I can't thank him enough because NXT genuinely kept me interested in wrestling throughout the toughest parts of the pandemic. It was the only show I was watching was NXT because it had the best, in my opinion, had the best wrestling and storylines that I could watch because I don't have cable, so I didn't know I could watch AEW yet. But yeah, NXT, you know, it really is one of my favorite things ever. So I just, yeah, it was a really touching moment. He deserves every bit of love that he's getting. And, you know, hopefully he gets to lead just a happy, healthy life with minimal stress from Vince McMahon. Speaking of Vince McMahon, he wrestled, guys. Vince McMahon wrestled at WrestleMania. Oh boy, admittedly, this was a lot of fun. And I know I keep saying that, and maybe it's just because I was in a good mood, but honestly, it was so fun to see, and it's probably the last time we'll see it, so you should appreciate it while you have it. And, you know, it ends with him receiving the worst stunner in the history of stunners. It's a fumbling mess. Stone Cold is cracking up the entire time he's doing it, and that makes it redeemable because it's just fun to see. He's having fun in there, and Vince McMahon is trying. This is something I never thought I would see. I never thought I would ever see Vince McMahon wrestle again. And this is the way to go out, I think. Following that, we can discuss Edge forming a new faction with this new spooky goth branding, which is fantastic. He has the Ring of Fire again. He's sitting on this throne. He's got this purple and black aesthetic, very Undertaker-esque, and I love it. I think he can take the reins of like an Undertaker-type figure in the WWE, someone that is formidable and scary, and you don't fully get what he's thinking, you know? He's almost unpredictable in that way, and I think Edge can have a lot of fun with this character. And he's already taken someone under his wing, Damian Priest, who is a fantastic talent, and I think that they've kind of done him a disservice with this latest character of, you know, you're bringing out the Damian in me. It's terrible. So hopefully this brings him back on the right track. And I think Edge is a perfect mentor for that. And they can add, you know, more people. Early contenders for people I want to see in this faction is Mustafa Ali. Obviously, he doesn't want to be there, but man, Mustafa Ali would make this faction really cool, because then you have like a hothead, like a small hothead. But yeah, this is going to be fun. And I think this is definitely building to a match between him and AJ. Hopefully Finn gets involved, and then we see a small Bullet Club reunion of AJ and Finn. Crazy to think that they didn't strike when the iron was hot, when you had both Finn and AJ in the same company. But now they're rolling out the red carpet for Cody Rhodes, which, you know, is different circumstances. But it is a little funny to think that they had something huge. They've had something huge for years, and they've just never really poked the bear in that way. But let's get to the main event of night two, which I honestly was a little disappointed by the match. It was very much a copy and paste Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match, and I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was going to be different because we have different iterations of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I thought we were going to see a more methodical and thought out match that ended with hopefully a guillotine knocking out Brock Lesnar, but that's not what we got. And and I'm fine with it. I think the build has been pretty decent. As of late, it did get a little stale for me, but I can appreciate it, especially because I love Roman Reigns' character. And I think that the talent he has now, as he's the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion, he's going to have some fun with the main event scene, defending the titles on both Raw and SmackDown. You have some great names there like Edge, AJ Styles, and Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes probably. I mean, you're going to have some great time building feuds with them. I will say, I'll just save this bit. We'll put a pin in my thoughts of SmackDown. But yeah, WrestleMania in the books. And it was amazing. It was such a good Mania, guys. If you haven't checked out Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, you definitely need to watch that. I would say that's that and the Cody Rhodes Seth Rollins match are the must watch matches of the night for pro wrestling fans. If you love sports entertainment, which I love sports entertainment, we all do, the Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville match is so much fun. I didn't touch on it that much because I didn't want to spoil anything. I did go watch the recent Jackass movie in theaters, which was kind of random, but it was very much worth the price of admission. If you love some good old goofy wrestling, that's great goofy wrestling. Stone Cold's final match is a must watch because it's probably going to be historic. You're going to look back on this in 10 years and say, wow, I can't believe they did that. That was my WrestleMania review, both nights one and two. They were really just jam-packed, and I don't know what they're going to do next year, to be honest with you. It seems like there's such a clean slate right now, and the only thing people are predicting, obviously, is Roman Reigns versus The Rock at WrestleMania Hollywood, which I'm kind of in that camp too, but I don't have anything to really base that on. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Roman Reigns face somebody like Seth Rollins next year at WrestleMania, which is probably their backup plan. But yeah, and other than that, everything feels like a clean slate. There's no real predictable stuff going on. WrestleMania Backlash is going to be a little bit interesting because they're either going to do a bunch of rematches or we might get a lot of fresh matchups. Hopefully the latter, but a couple rematches would suffice. I mean, I would like to see Edge and AJ go at it again, and Seth Rollins and Cody, and Bianca and Becky never disappoint. So yeah, I think I would go for that for WrestleMania Backlash. Let's switch gears now. We're going to talk about Friday night, Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor. Normally, I hadn't really touched on Ring of Honor, actually, because when I started the podcast, I think Ring of Honor was, like, going to go bankrupt. So, yeah, I went to the show. It was so much fun, you guys. And it has a Match of the Year contender in the Briscoes versus FTR. I mean, that the room was filled with tension. It was so well done, and they milked every moment. But that's not the biggest news coming out of Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor. Samoa Joe returned to Ring of Honor. One of my absolute favorite wrestlers of all time. He debuted, and man, I could not hold my excitement. I was jumping up and down. This is great. And Tony Khan came out at the end of the show and confirmed that Samoa Joe is All Elite, and we will be seeing him this Wednesday night on Dynamite. This is amazing. And Samoa Joe had an interview, I think, after. I didn't see who it was with, but essentially he said, they asked him what his goals were, and he said, I'm here to be world champ. I'm here to be Ring of Honor world champ and AEW world champ. And I think that's fantastic. Yeah, I'm so excited for this. Samoa Joe, give me Samoa Joe versus Eddie Kingston and Hangman Page and Danielson and Mox. Oh boy, come on, man. There's just so many good matchups. Adam Cole, Keith Lee, Swerve Scott, Lee Moriarty, Daniel Garcia. This is just going to be a lot of fun, man. Aside from that, there was a very much a similar vibe from WrestleMania in this new clean slate, as there was a lot of new champions crowned. I mean, we have FTR winning the tag titles, Yuta winning the Pure Wrestling Championship, which honestly was a really fun match to watch. Someone who has never watched wrestling, like my friend, he's watched it, but he hasn't really watched wrestling like that. It was really funny to see his reaction to that. But yeah, we have Yuta as that new champion. We have an interim women's champion in Mercedes Martinez, and I'm probably forgetting somebody, but yeah, new champions across the board. So we're definitely getting an AEW Ring of Honor, and I'm excited to see it. I'm really curious to see how the Yuta storyline matches up, you know, now that he has this championship. Is he going to bring that to Regal and say, look at what I've done? You know, that's going to be a lot of fun to see. Oh, did I mention that Minoru Suzuki, that was his first U.S. championship, which is just mind-boggling to me, but he deserves every championship. So, yeah, this was a very cool moment. It was a very special moment. The match itself was fine. Nothing to write home about. I popped pretty hard for the Cradle Piledriver, though. And I think this show is very indicative of, like, Ring of Honor's future, what you can expect, you know, the stars that are going to get made. They had such a bright focus on both Yuta and Lee Moriarty, which I think are great investments for the future. And they even had Jay Lethal turn heel. So I think that's going to definitely just be the entire story of them. They did not give us any indication as to, like, TV scheduling or their next pay-per-view. So hopefully maybe Wednesday we'll get some more confirmation on that, if they're going to tour at all, you know. Because I think they have something special with Ring of Honor. It's one of those brands that has held a lot of good faith with the wrestling community. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good time. And you got someone like Jonathan Gresham heading it, who's so over. This is just going to be very interesting to watch. And I may start covering Ring of Honor because I'm invested. I'm not going to lie. This was a lot of fun to be there. And that kind of wraps up my reviews for the WrestleMania weekend itself. Those were the only two things I was really able to watch. I know I want to watch Bloodsport really bad because I heard that the Moxley and Biff match was outstanding. And even Ninja Mac had, like, a really good performance there. So that'd be interesting to watch. And then GCW had, like, a million shows that I'll never be able to keep up with. But I know that they had the Lucha show. I think it was the World on Lucha. that I would recommend because I already saw some clips of it and it looks fantastic. There's a John Morrison and Jack Cartwheel match. I think that's his name. Excuse me if that's wrong. And that should be just fantastic. Those are great workers. Now to wrap up this episode, I wanted to touch on things that have happened since I've been gone. And the first thing I want to touch on is Scott Hall's passing. We did lose Scott Hall, and that really, I'm not usually someone that gets kind of emotional, but Scott Hall's passing did make me pretty emotional. I remember my first memories of him were watching the ladder match DVD that WWE released, and it had both of his ladder matches with Shawn Michaels on there. And I remember being absolutely captivated by Scott Hall. I mean, this guy was, one, just so handsome, and two, just so charismatic. And every movement he made was methodical, but it was so well done that you believe that Shawn Michaels is in dangerous trouble here. I never grew up watching him because it was a little bit past my time, but I did go back and visit matches with him in it. And I mean, who can forget his iconic, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Like that, it lives on forever. And him being such a foundation member of the NWO will always be in his legacy. And as well as just being like a great in-ring worker. I hadn't watched it, but I was able to see on Twitter people were tweeting out the Scott Hall Bret Hart match from, I believe, Royal Rumble. I forget the year, excuse me. But so I went back and watched that, and that was just so good. I just couldn't believe it because I at that time, you know, there weren't a lot of great matches on WWE TV or pay-per-views even. But yeah, that was a fantastic match. And when I was coming back to wrestling, there's a little bit of a pivot, but when I was coming back from my hiatus from wrestling, I had watched the Jake the Snake documentary, and Scott Hall was also in there, and it really just like humanized him a lot. And so when he passed, it really hurt to see that, because like I knew just how hard this guy had struggled to, you know, keep living. And he was able to find some road of recovery, and it was a real comeback story. So, yeah, I mean, I love Scott Hall, man. And his Hall of Fame his Hall of Fame speech, just legendary, you know. So, just wanted to touch on that. Really pay my respects to an absolute legend, Scott Hall. Keeping on a sadder note, unfortunately, Big E broke his neck as well while I was gone, and that really sucked to see, man. Someone who had worked so hard last year, and I was so excited for his WWE title reign. And, you know, and they kind of, and it really made me a little bit upset as a fan, because let's be honest, he shouldn't have lost that title at day one. And if he wouldn't have lost that title at day one, he wouldn't have been in that position to begin with, you know, to be on SmackDown facing, you know, Sheamus and Ridge Holland. You know, he wouldn't be there if they would have just, you know, stuck it out. They would have Roman and Brock just maintain the Universal Championship. Because honestly, Big E deserved to be at WrestleMania with that title. And I would have loved to have seen Big E versus Bobby Lashley, or Big E versus Seth Rollins, whoever. I would love to see that for him. And it's unfortunate that he had to miss WrestleMania, and he might be out for a lot longer than that. And I mean, I really am hoping that this wasn't the last time we see Big E on our in a ring. And you know, he's been keeping very positive on social media, which I love. And you know, just best wishes out for him, and shout out to the New Day for that really great gear at WrestleMania. They dressed up as him, basically. It was fantastic. It was a really touching moment. But let's get away from the sad stuff. I want to talk about some of my favorite stories that have been going on in the world of wrestling. And, you know, I wrote these down, and I realized there's like no WWE stories. And that's just because, honestly, WWE isn't the best at weekly television, guys. I don't know if you guys know this, but the weekly television sometimes is hard to watch, and they don't necessarily create the best story beats. And oftentimes the best story beats are on the pay-per-views. And as well, they've had some fun pay-per-views between my exit and now, but, you know, not the best storytelling. But let's talk about my favorite stories. And coming in at number one, easily, is the Mox and Danielson and Regal, the alignment of these violent fools creating the Blackpool Combat Club, which, man, AEW is terrible at creating faction names. But nonetheless, this has been so much fun to watch from its inception to before. I mean, Danielson is already my wrestler of the year, and it's going to be pretty hard to top him when he's doing jumping jacks after a 60-minute draw, you know? Like, this man has just been putting on banger after banger, and his character work is so good. And Mox's comeback was so emotional and so well done, and then to have him be faced with Danielson, and they have a banger, I guess Revolution. I mean, and then William Regal coming out and slapping both of them, making them get on the same page. And now we have the inclusion of, like, Wheeler Yuta, and, man, it's just been great. And kind of tying into that, we have the opposite end with Daniel Garcia's story being in the Jericho Appreciation Society, which, again, terrible name. And I don't necessarily like the storyline itself. I think there are some parts that are really fun, and it mostly just revolves around 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. But yeah, Daniel Garcia saying he's a sports entertainer has cracked me up for the last 2 weeks, because he's so smug about it. He knows it's not true. And I think this is all leading up to an eventual collision with the Blackpool Combat Club, because of how much these sports entertainers keep saying they beat up pro wrestlers. And who's the most pro wrestler group in AEW? Blackpool Combat Club. I think that's going to be fantastic. And we could see a alliance-esque turn for Daniel Garcia, you know, switching on his teammates to go to the Blackpool Combat Club. But yeah, honestly, the Blackpool Combat Club is kind of carrying the Daniel Garcia story for me, because I know it's going to eventually lead there. But along with those two great storylines, you also have MJF and CM Punk putting on match of the year candidates and promo of the years. I mean, these two are just absolutely a match made in heaven. I normally think that people like them wouldn't pair well together because there's not a lot of contrast, but at least in my opinion, but I was proven wrong immediately. They have magic in that ring on the mic. It's fantastic. And it's bled into my next favorite, and I think it's going to be the last one I talk about, MJF and Wardlow's story. We have in the making the potential for another Batista Triple H story, which I've already mentioned is one of my favorites. And yeah, Wardlow is becoming a huge star, and MJF is just the perfect foil for him. So I'm very excited to see how that goes. Now that MJF has pretty much banned Wardlow from being at ringside, and he's kind of losing his faction because of it. FTR kind of showing dissent, maybe leaving the Pinnacle. And that will open up MJF to get some new members in the Pinnacle. My early prediction is probably going to be Butcher and the Blade. I can really see them better with MJF. I think that just makes more sense. Because the Andrade Family Office, I think that's what it is, that's a mess. That whole thing's a mess. So take away Butcher and the Blade from them, because they have two tag teams. Why does Andrade need two tag teams? It's just weird. But anyways, those are my favorite stories right now. We can discuss my favorite matches as well. I've watched the New Japan Cup as much as I can, and the Shingo Takagi and Ishii match is fantastic, hard-hitting stuff. El Fantasmo and Will Ospreay also had a pretty decent match, but this, Shingo Takagi and Ishii, that's like top-tier stuff. I'm also going to give a shout to Danielson versus Hangman Page. I think I didn't review either one, so just watch both of them. They're fantastic pro wrestling. It's probably the best TV match I've ever watched, especially the second one. I love their second encounter. I thought they topped themselves. And also CM Punk and MJF on TV. They had a great match. Great match in Chicago, of all places. And MJF going over was heat. And it was great. So yeah, those are a few of my favorite matches. I'm going to make a list probably towards like the end of the year, you know, capping off everything. I know there's not a women's match on there quite yet, but I think we still got some time. I thought Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker were going to do it for me. And while the moment was very emotional, the match itself is kind of rushed. And that's not their fault. It definitely just seems like they were running out of time. So, yeah, I would love to see those two run that back. And I think that we're going to get some banger matches between her and Nyla Rose and Ruby Soho and probably Jamie Hayter. So I think we're in for a really good year. And Bianca, too. She's going to have a really good year, as I already mentioned, all those challengers she has lined up for her. And Charlotte's a little bit on the different side, but she has some great challengers, too, like Sasha Banks and Naomi. I think she can have some fun. So there's that. One thing that has not changed since I've left is I don't watch NXT, you guys. Like I mentioned earlier, NXT was my favorite programming. NXT 2.0 is the antithesis of NXT. It's a mockery, almost. I'm not going to be too harsh. It's just not my thing, and it's not something I want to make time for personally. If you like NXT 2.0, good on you. I'm glad you can find something for you, you know, and everyone's wrestling is legitimate. It's just, for me, it's such a departure of what I've originally liked, and I think that the characters that they use are very much in the opposite of how they used to use people. And so, yeah, and one of the things I kind of wanted to pivot and talk about is one of my least favorite things that's happened in the world of pro wrestling, in kayfabe, you know, in the silliness of it all, is Walter and Pete Dunne getting their names changed to Gunther and Butch. I am especially mad about the Walter situation because Walter is one of the best names ever, spelled in all caps as well. And now they've taken away his music as of recently, as a stand deliver, took away his music. His name's Gunther. It's pathetic. I don't want this Walter. I want old Walter. I want him murdering people with his hands. And so, yeah, that's just not good. And Pete Dunne, you know, I kind of was scared for him coming on a main roster anyway, but this character being so goofy and then the name is terrible and he didn't even get to wrestle at WrestleMania. I mean, this is just, it's not what I wanted for Pete Dunne. And hopefully he leaves or he gets some better treatment, because Pete Dunne is a one of a kind, one in a decade wrestler. If you haven't watched his match with Tyler Bate at TakeOver Chicago, do yourself a favor and remind yourself the greatness that is British Strong Style. And Pete Dunne and Walter's match at TakeOver, I don't think it's Cardiff, but one of the TakeOvers, maybe Blackpool. Outstanding. Yeah, they completely just want to ruin my favorite people, man. It's rough to watch. But that's my two cents about that. And I'm going to end this on the new WWE 2K video game, because that has recently come out and I got myself a copy. If you know me, I'm an adamant WWE 2K19 player. I have my universe mode that I absolutely love. And that's mostly thanks to the Call creators out there who made it possible to have so many great people and arenas and titles, everything. Everything you could ever wish for in your own federation is there. You know, and WWE 2K22 so far has been pretty good. I'm not going to lie. The toughest thing about it is getting used to the new, like, controller mechanics, because they've made everything way more complicated than it used to be. But aside from that, I think the story mode is very well. The My Rise, I really like that. I think they give you some great creative options. I made my character kind of a jerk. His name is Saint. His name is James Saint Garcia, because that's like the closest thing I can get to my real name. But yeah, his gimmick is, you know, he does no wrong because he's a saint. So obviously he's a heel, and he's feuding with Seth Rollins currently. He kind of took over the Monday Night Messiah thing. He's WWE champion and US champion. Very proud of him. But yeah, that's really fun. The My Rise mode is really fun. Universe mode seemingly is the same, except they cut out promos, which is not... I don't miss it that much, let's just say that. And then the GM mode is a lot of fun. I've been playing as, like, both people, so that way I can, like, fully flesh it out and see how I like it. So I haven't played against the computer yet, I've just been booking against myself, essentially. And that's been fun, to be honest. It's like, oh, okay, let me see what I can do here and here. And then to see which show did better is pretty interesting. And yeah, I haven't played the other mode, and I'm kind of blanking on the name of it, the card game that they have. I'm not usually a fan of stuff like that, but you know, that's pretty cool that they were able to include it for, because that's like a big thing in their mobile apps, is they do a lot of those card games. So that's kind of cool. And then I haven't done the showcase mode either, but it looks fantastic, and you get prime Eddie Guerrero, like 1997 Eddie Guerrero, once you complete that. So that's like my driving force to do it. Once I get done with that, I don't know what's going to keep me interested. But yeah, and then already the call creations I've seen are fantastic. I'm glad that they like didn't hinder them to any restrictions or anything. And then from what I've seen, it's a little more expansive for them, so that's great. I'm going to have a stacked universe mode like always. And so yeah, that was my spiel, you guys. I am officially back. This is the first podcast back. If you made it this far, please make sure to leave a rating and a review on wherever you're listening to this on. Spotify recently added reviews, so that would be a great help. And I'll read any reviews on the show. You know, I think I have one currently right now. We can read it next week. And yeah, you guys take care of yourselves, and I'll be back before you know it. Bye, guys.